morning we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3. And so I'll start reading it. We won't read the entire chapter today, but we'll work through most of the chapter, and then we'll look at some observations. This is a really important passage of Scripture, a lot of wonderful truth here, and I think it'll be very practical. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But the things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I love this passage of Scripture. In fact, there are many times that I've come to this Scripture when I'm going through the gospel with somebody. Because the truth is, Paul is explaining his own personal testimony of how he became a Christian, how there was an incredible transformation in the way that he looked at himself and the law and his righteousness and how he related to God. And really what I want to do is start with a kind of a summary of the main point of this Scripture. And I'll put it this way. Legalism, and when I use the term legalism, what I mean is a view that the law is how we have a right standing with God. Legalism keeps people out of God's kingdom, it hinders growth into Christ's likeness, and it limits our knowledge of God. And the fact is that some forms of legalism are actually keeping people from placing their faith in the finished work of Christ. And so if a person is resting in their ability to keep the law, they're trusting in their own righteousness, they're actually not a part of God's kingdom because they have forsaken establishing, trusting in the righteousness of Christ and his work alone. They're actually depending on their own success and their own ability to stand before God. And so on that level, a person who is trusting in their own righteousness is not even a Christian in the true sense. And Paul really found himself that way before his conversion on that Damascus road. But the truth is that a person can have placed their faith in Christ, yet because of their former view of the law, they can kind of bring that back into their Christian walk. And the truth is that that also can have a debilitating influence on that person. It can keep them from growing into Christ's likeness like God wants them to. It has the ability to limit how much they know about God and their affections toward God. And it can cause a person really to have a lot of fear and anxiety because they really wonder if they're fully accepted by God. And so this concept of legalism, where we are trusting in the law in some way to give us a standing before God, it is a damaging thing for us to embrace. And so with that in mind, I wanted to look at a couple of important phrases that we find in Philippians chapter 3, and then from that, get into some observations. The first phrase that really stood out to me was the phrase, "beware of." And he mentions a couple of different descriptions of ultimately people who were Judaizers. they were in the church and they were teaching that if you wanted to be a Christian or you wanted to grow as a Christian, that the only way to do that was to keep the Mosaic law. And so Paul is saying you need to be careful about these people, these Judaizers, who are teaching that the law is how we have a right standing before God. He then goes on in verse 4, he then says in the next verse, he says, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, which rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Basically, Paul's saying the true Jewish people, those who are really God's people, are not those who are just ethnically Jewish who follow the law, but they're those who have come to embrace the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says we're the ones who worship God in spirit, he's actually referring back to Jesus' conversation that he had with the woman at the well, where he's saying true believers are not those who are resting in the law, but those who are resting in the righteousness of Christ. He says that we're the ones who rejoice in Christ. He's basically saying that our ability to have joy, to worship God as we should, is really rooted in the fact that we are not trusting in our own righteousness and our ability to keep the law, but we're trusting in the work of Christ and his righteousness. He's also saying that we have no confidence in the flesh. And he's saying that we're a humble people because we recognize that our ability to keep the law is something that we can't do perfectly. And that's why we needed Christ. That's why we needed him to die for our sins. That's why we needed his righteousness to be credited to us. And so those two phrases are really important. Then in verse 4, he begins to get into his own himself as an example of someone who had formerly been trusting in the law and his righteousness, and who turned from that belief system to embrace the gospel purely and to trust in the righteousness of Jesus instead of his own. And so in verse 4, he says, if any, I the more. He's saying if there's anybody that could have put confidence in the flesh and their ability to keep the law, it was me. And he lays out exactly why that is. And after doing that, in verse 7, he says this, but what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. In other words, Paul's saying, when I came to understand the gospel and I met Christ face to face, all of a sudden I realized that all of my trust was misplaced. My trust was really in myself. My trust was really in my own righteousness. My trust was not connected to Christ and the cross and the resurrection. It was all about me. And he says, I counted those things as loss. Everything that I trusted in, I realized it was worthless. It had no value to God. It had no ability to give me a right standing before him. And then he goes on in verse 9, he says, I count them as dung. He says, they're worthless. It's like in Isaiah where he says that they're all filthy rags. That's what Paul's saying. He said, my righteousness is dirty, it's filthy, it falls short of God's glory. And I view it as rubbish, it's worthless. He says, I count it but dung, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Folks, that right there is the gospel. The way that a person becomes a child of God is he understands his own righteousness is completely unacceptable to God. He has no ability to earn God's favor. He has no ability to stand in God's presence. And he turns from trusting in his filthy rags and he places his faith in the finished work of Christ. He says, it's the righteousness which is of God. In other words, this righteousness doesn't start with me. It starts with God. And this righteousness becomes mine, not because I work for it, but because I trust in what God did for me. That's the heart of the gospel. And so this legalism that is trusting in our ability to work our way to God is something that keeps us out of the kingdom. And Paul's using himself as an example of this. But really, that misplaced trust is not just something that keeps us out of the kingdom, but it's something that sometimes comes back, creeps back into our lives. And when it creeps back into our lives, though we have trusted in the finished work of Christ, we can still begin to have this performance mentality where the law is our ladder to God. It's our ability to stay in his good graces and his good favor. And we begin to fear, does God accept me? Does God love me? Can I have fellowship with him? Does he actually accept my righteous or my worship? And when we begin to think that way, it's an indication that the legalism that preceded our conversion is still somewhat rooted in our hearts. And we have a performance-based view of salvation, not just salvation, but now really our Christian experience. And we see really where that begins to undermine our health as a Christian. In verse 10, he says, my desire is that I may know him. You know, when I'm legalistic in my mentality, when I have this performance-rooted Christianity, what ultimately will happen is my focus will be on Christ, his work, his righteousness, his perfection. It's really going to be very self-oriented. My focus is going to be my performance. How am I doing? What am I doing? Am I doing enough? And Paul says that's not where my focus lies as a Christian. It's not about me and what I'm doing. It's about knowing him. He says, I want to know him. Verse 13, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And someone might say, well, he says he's doing one thing, but he mentions two here. Well, really, these are two aspects of the same thing. In other words, Paul is saying, if I'm going to press forward, then I have to turn from what I was embracing before because it hinders my ability to press forward. And so the one thing that he's doing is involving turning away from this false system, this inward focus where he's trusting in his own righteousness, in his own performance, his own ability to merit God's good graces. He doesn't understand grace. He doesn't understand righteousness and salvation. He says, I forget those things. I'm turning away from those things, and I'm pressing forward on what really matters. I'm pressing forward towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you ask the question, what is the high calling of Jesus? It's that we would know him. In other words, it's not a place. It's not a position. It's not some type of service to him. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus is that we as God's people have the ability to know the creator and the sustainer of all things. The one who did everything necessary for me to become a Christian. He did it all. I have the opportunity not to just know him casually, but to know him personally, to know him intimately. There is no greater calling in life than that of knowing the Lord. And so what Paul's basically saying is, I have turned away from this performance-centered view of how I'm right with God, not just in how I become a Christian, but how I live as a Christian. And so here are some observations that I have from this text. The first is this: having a law-based view of the Christian life is an enemy to our soul. It's something that's going to undermine our health as Christians. The second thing is this: Paul's conversion is an example that really should be a pattern in all of our lives. The question is, have I come face to face with the same realities that Paul did? I'm not Paul. I wasn't a Pharisee. I didn't trust in the law of Moses when I became a Christian. But the reality is that I had the same self-righteous principles at work in my heart. And you do as well. And the question is, have we come face to face with the reality that our righteousness is filthy rags, that we have no ability to merit God's favor, that it is all rooted in the work of Christ, the righteousness of Christ? Paul's conversion is an example. What we see in Paul takes place in our own hearts if we're truly a Christian. Third is this: we must have a singular focus of knowing God and growing in this communion with him. And folks, that is the heart and soul of the Christian life. It's about growing in a knowledge of God. For this singular focus involves putting off past false views and reaching forward to press forward to a deeper fellowship with God. And so there are things in my past of how I looked at God and how I looked at myself and how I looked at how I relate to God that were completely wrong. And that's what repentance really involves. It involves me recognizing that my view of sin, self, and Christ is wrong. And I turn from them and I embrace what the Bible says about those matters. And the truth is that there are things about the way that I think that have to change and have to constantly be brought into check. Tendencies that all of us have that we have to constantly fight against as we press forward in our growth into Christ's likeness. And the last thing I want to mention in this, our highest calling is not a place. It's not a vacation. It's a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of folks right now that are very unsettled. And they're unsettled because their job could be lost. They're unsettled because of changes in life. There's so many different things that cause that unsettling. And the truth is that when we find our value and our worth and our ability to be settled in what we do or where we are living on quicksand. But if our highest calling in our heart, not just we know it in our head, but we really feel that and we really believe that, we live in the light of that, is that it's about our walk with the Lord. The fact is we can weather any storm. You lose your job. You have to move out of your house. You end up in a different place. Something very unsettling happens. You go back to the rock. You go back to the foundation of it all. And that's really what this passage is all about. It's about us getting back to the basics. I want to encourage you this morning, in light of this reflection, to consider praying about a couple of things. This is what I jotted down as I was reading this morning. First of all is this. We should ask God to root out legalistic thinking where it is beginning to develop in our souls or where it hasn't been purged out fully. We really need to ask the Lord to help us to see those things rooted out. Secondly, we need to ask the Lord to help us to see that this is an enemy to our soul. This performance-based Christianity, this view that God accepts me because of what I do for him, not because of what Christ did for me. We need to ask the Lord to root that out of our souls and for us to view it as an enemy to our growth into Christ's likeness. And lastly, we need to ask the Lord to help us to be focused in a diligent pursuit of a knowledge of him and that he would root out those things that are enemies to our ability to focus exclusively on what's most important. I hope that that's been a blessing to you. This is the Lord's Day, and I'm excited about the opportunity to preach this morning. If your church isn't doing a live stream, or maybe you don't normally go to church and you came across this video, I hope that you'll join us on the live stream. At 9:30, we're going to be having our Sunday school class. At 10:30, we'll have our morning worship service. And those are all going to be streamed through Facebook and YouTube. So if you're interested, come back at 9:30 and listen to Sunday school. Come back and join us at 10:30 for our morning worship. Have a wonderful morning. Let's pray, and I hope you have a great day. Father, help us to embrace the truths that we find in this text. Father, help us to recognize where we have allowed a performance mentality to be rooted in our hearts and how that undermines our ability to grow into Christ's likeness. How it undermines our stability and our confidence and our joy. Father, help us to find all of our joy in the work of Christ and in the privilege that we have to grow in an intimate knowledge of you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.